Okay, friends, we should get started. Welcome back. And those of you that are new here, I see some faces, welcome here. You will be thrown right into an exercise, a practice that most of us have prepared here. And hopefully that will work. Before we do that, I would like to get some help with this word here. Can anyone help me with using this word in order to get some guidelines on how to take a conversation, general conversation and relationship that you have with someone into a more spiritual talk? Can someone help me with this? What does it stand for?
Self,
and what does that mean?
Get the other people to talk about themselves.
Talk about themselves. Why?
People like to talk
about themselves, and it starts to build a relationship, and you can practice good listening, right? And then?
Home.
Interest. Then we come to?
Religion.
What's a good question to ask when to bring the topic into religion?
Your family have a religious
background. Why? So, yeah, thank you. Do your family have any kind of religious background? Now, at least in Sweden and in Scandinavia, why did I give that tip? Right, it can be offensive to be too personal and ask, so what kind of religion or worldview or faith do you belong to, or something like that. Yeah, so it opens up a broader subject of talk. And then T, what's that?
Testimony.
Does anyone have any practical tips for us when you share your personal testimony? Sorry. Keep it short, right?
To the point.
To the point?
Three questions.
What are those?
How was your
life before?
When you met Christ?
And now after. Those are some good questions to answer to when you build your personal testimony. And most of us in here, we have had over one day of writing down, or short, 1 minute to 3 minute testimony, right? And hopefully we have done that. And we will now start with this practice that we did not have time to do last session. And divide into groups, and we will jump to someone that we don't know, right? As we normally sit next to someone that we know, and this will be a bigger blessing, but because you get to know other people as well. So what we'll do is this. We will find someone that we want to talk with, and then I will clock. Since I said that it is important to keep it short, and we don't have much time here, I will clock 2 minutes, okay? Because I said between 1 to 3 minutes, so let's make it in the middle there. 2 minutes. One of you start, tell your personal short testimony, and then the other one can practice on being a good listener, right? And remember the eyes. Right? Don't do this. And then we switch. I will tell you up front here when to switch, okay? Those of you that feel that you have maybe not have the time to prepare, try anyway, okay? Try anyway to just share some other testimony of what you did here or have experienced during this conference, okay? Before we go into that practice and before we start to go further in this session, let's pray to ask that God would guide us, okay? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the time that we've spent here, that we have discussed and shared some practical tips and tools and experiences together on how to reach the human heart, how to witness to individuals personally, and how to build relationships that will also lead to a relationship with you, Father. I pray that you will guide us in whatever we do this last session of this workshop. Come with your Holy Spirit and lead us, Father. That is my prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so let's divide into the groups of two or three, if that's suitable, and let's start soon, okay? So I will start the clock in about 1 minute, so hurry up. Okay, friends? Yes, I will start the clock in T-minus 10 seconds, okay? So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 1, start. Okay. Okay, friends, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry to interrupt you in your conversations. I would love to give you more time. Okay. Just a question quickly before we switch. Did you make it?
Yeah.
You did? Oh, praise God. Praise God. Did anyone not make it? Still talking about your experience?
I made it, but then you had some questions.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. That's another one, really good one. I'll come into that more later. But how many had more questions after you've heard the testimony? How many wanted to know more? How many? You know, that's the blessing of telling your experience, right? And you know, this will not only be the case with talking with other Christians and Adventists. I have experienced many times when I share my personal testimony, people will start to ask those questions because of the relationship that I have already started to build and the trust, right, that we talked about. And they will say, well, as I know you, this sounds interesting. Well, tell me more, right? So now we will switch and we will talk a bit more about those things after your friend is done with the telling of personal testimony. Okay, remember, 2 minutes, okay, starting now. Okay, friends, I'm sorry once again to interrupt your conversation. We need to go on, and the time is out. So the exercise was to do this in between 1 and 3 minutes. Now I will tell you a secret. I actually gave each of you 3 minutes. Did you notice? Did anyone notice?
Yeah.
Now did you see how? Yeah, you had 3 minutes. Now, did you notice how quick the time goes, right? How fast it goes. You know, just telling one story or making one point. It goes fast. But most of the time, this is the time that we have, right? We meet someone at the bus. We meet someone at the door. We have a couple of 5 minutes or 10 minutes to build a first relationship and connection and connect in some way. And then you have those precious last minutes to make some kind of impression, showing that you are sincere in your faith. You have a trust in God and the Bible, and you're earnest about this. No one can argue against what you just told, right? No one can say, no, you didn't experience that. No, that's your experience, right? That's your personal testimony. That's what makes it so powerful. It's not a theological argument or any apologetic thing that you need to share it every time at the bus. And you just share your experience, right? Do you remember the quote? Let's read it again. It's from Desire of Ages, page 340. We will close this session of testimonies with this one. Read it again. As witnesses for Christ, we are to tell what we, do you remember? No. What we ourselves have what? Experience, yes. Seen, heard, and felt. This is the witness of which our Lord calls, right? Not to know all the answers to all the questions that people will ask at the door or at the street or at the bus, right? But to tell your experience, right? The other things are good, and you need to have them with you, and we need to train ourselves in having those answers and things. But primarily, personal witnessing, reaching people's hearts, will make a huge effect when you just share your personal experience with God, as we just did. Okay. Now, let's go into the last part of this journey towards the hearts of humans. Now, you can move back if you have your stuff in another place. You can move back to your place and find those. Your seats. But we have talked about how to meet people, right? How to start conversations and how to lead it into more spiritual nature. Now we have come to telling our own experience. Now we will come into something that I believe is key in reaching human hearts, and that is the understanding that it is not up to us. It is not up to us to convert people, right? We are called to witness. We are called to tell our experience. We're called to share the message of the Bible. But we need to do this in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, right? We need to know that God is with us and working on the human hearts as we are trying to reach them. And this is very important for us to understand. I would like to invite you to open to the Gospel of John. Chapter 16, where Jesus speaks about the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16 and verse 8. In John chapter 16, Jesus tells the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And he says, talking about the Holy Spirit, when he comes, John 16 and verse 8, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, for us that have a hard time to understand these words, I translate them like this. The work of the Holy Spirit is to teach us, to convict us of sin, that is what's wrong, of righteousness, that's what's right, and of judgment, that is the consequences of choosing either right or wrong, right? Now, so the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict people of right and wrong and the consequences of choosing either right or wrong. And this is an experience that I believe that all of us in this room have gone through. When we come in contact with the character of God, when we come in contact with the Word of God in some way, through a sermon, through a personal Bible study, through someone telling a testimony, through someone singing a song focused on uplifting the Word of God and Jesus Christ, as we come in contact with the character of God and the Bible, the Spirit of God is working on their hearts, on our hearts, drawing us closer to Him, appealing to us to follow what's right and leave what's wrong. And this conviction of the understanding of the consequences that this is a serious decision I'm called to do, right? This is the conscience, the Holy Spirit, the voice of God to our conscience. This is the work of the Spirit. And listen, not only us in this room have experienced this several times, but who does it say in the verse? Who did Jesus say that the Holy Spirit will convict? Christians? The world, right? The world, everyone that you meet at the street, at the door, your family member, that on the outward might seem so not interested at all. The Spirit of God, according to the Bible, is working on their hearts. Remember that. When you, in some way, uplift Christ, the character of God, the Word of God, when they come in contact with it, with the Word, the Spirit is working on their hearts. This is why I, 8-9 years ago, never read the Bible in my entire life. When I did something I heard this inner voice, this kind of this conscience speaking to me that said, "Dan, this is something that you ought not to do." Do you follow me? This is when I sat down, as I told you, with my sister, telling her I need to practice giving Bible studies. And so she said, "Yeah, right, let's do this." We sat down, and I told my own experience from that topic, right? I made an appeal. This is why my sister started to feel uncomfortable. This is why my sister didn't want to look into my eyes. Do you follow me? Because the Spirit of God is working on her heart. Now, practically, we need to take this truth, this understanding that God is working on every human's heart when we come in contact with them and in some way uplift and try to draw their attention to the Bible. We need to take this truth, we need to take that understanding, and we need to be there as a friend to help our friends to make the right decision in this precious moment. This is not the time for you to come there and in some kind of judgmental manner say, "Hey, I told you so," right? Someone sitting and crying, someone that you see is uncomfortable, you say, "I know why you're uncomfortable, you're not following God, and you know it," right? To push people down. No, listen, this is the time when we need to reach out a hand and say, I've struggled myself. I have been there, I know how it is. I know that this is hard. I know that you need someone to support you. Let's pray together. Let's do this. Let's do this decision together. Okay, this is an appeal from your heart to say, "Friend, I know what you're going through right now. Follow the voice of God and the Spirit of God." That is the appeal that should come from every Christian seeing someone in need of a friend and support in this precious moment. You know yourself. When you go through conviction, when your selfish nature draws you in this direction, right? And the Word of God, the Spirit of God, draws you in an opposite direction. Is that an easy situation or a hard situation? It's a hard one, right? It's hard enough. You don't need someone to come there and just push you down, right? You need someone to encourage you. You need someone to show sympathy. You need someone to say, I'm a human too. I've struggled just as you do. Let's do this together. Let's help each other, right? This is the appeal that should come from every Christian in the moment when we see people go through a conviction. Now, how do we see that? And Jesus spoke about this with Nicodemus. Do you remember? He spoke about the work of the Spirit. Let's look at that in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And it says in verse 8, drawing the attention to an object lesson, drawing the attention to the nature, it says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God starts to work on a human's heart, we might not see the Spirit, right? But we might see the effects of it. As we hear the wind, as we see the effects of the wind, we might see some signs that tell us that a person is going through conviction. The Spirit of God is working on their heart. Now is my opportunity to be there as a friend and reach this this individual's heart. Okay. When I started to share my testimony, I did not know about these things. I did not know this, what I would say today, this key on how to help people and how to reach people's hearts. I was sharing my testimony in a church. And after the sermon, we go down and we stand there and we greet them and we say, hey, and thank you, and all of these things in the end. And one man comes up to me. And I had never experienced this. I did not understand what he was going through. Grown-up man, and he was crying. And he came up to me, and he was crying, and he said, Don, I am not living a Christian life. And I was just standing there. I was afraid. I did not know what to do. Do you follow me? I was shocked. This felt uncomfortable. This grown-up man standing here and crying and saying, I'm not living a Christian life. What do I do, right? So I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything for this man. Now, if I understood that what he was going through was something natural when we uplift Christ and focus on the Word of God, he's going through some conviction. God is calling him to do something with his life. I could have given him a word of encouragement, right? Now, I have met him several times afterwards, and he's on a good path, right? God has helped him. But my point is, we need to be there. Someone need to be there. Someone helped him, okay? It was not me, but someone did it. Someone helped him in his decision, in his hard time. And we need to be there also as friends when we see this. Now, let's talk about some of these signs that you might see very practically. Tears, as my friend, might be signs of conviction. Another sign of conviction might be joy. If you have ever been speaking in the front of people, telling your testimony or sharing the Word of God with an earnest heart, Daniel, you will tell us, we will see in the face of people when the Spirit of God is touching. This is the sign of conviction, different ways. Someone might sit there smiling with this peaceful expression. Some other person might look down, shake his head or her head, don't want to look up and meet the eyes of the preacher. These are different signs of conviction that you will experience. Now, and something... let's go through some list of it. Happiness. People start to tell others, right? That's a positive sign. The tears, we talked about that. It can be tears of joy. It can be tears of maybe sorrow or understanding of my own condition. Another sign can be that they cannot stay away. They need to be close to wherever the Word of God is shared, right? They come to every Bible study. They come to every meeting you invite them to. That's just a sign that the Spirit of God is working on their hearts. Another, on the opposite, is that people might avoid you, right? They might don't want to show up. They don't answer your calls. They feel uncomfortable among people that is reflecting God's character. Now, I have a very extreme experience in that. I was standing in a church. We had some evangelistic meetings, and I was standing in the hall and greeting people that came in for this meetings. And I see this mom dragging her son after her, and when he comes up to the door where they are to enter into the meeting hall, this son pushes her away, jumps up in the air, and starts to run down the stairs of the church. Okay, and I see this, and I say, oh, okay, I get eye contact with her, and I know her, and I say, I'll help him. Okay. So I go down there, and on my way down, he runs up, okay? And he passes me, and he runs out from the church. I'm thinking, something is happening, okay? This is not a very normal behavior. This might be the work of the Spirit on his heart. So I take my jacket, and I run after him. Now, I worked as a Bible worker in that city, and if you are a Bible worker, you get to know the streets and every corner and all the whole city that you're working very, very well, okay? So I have an advantage. He is younger than me. I'm getting old, so I can't run that fast, but I know the city. So I see that he's running that direction. So I think, if I run this direction, I might meet him, okay? So I start to run after him. I'm running and running, and then, sure enough, in a corner, we almost bump into each other. We run into each other. Now, he had seen me before. We have talked a bit. So we run into each other, and he's like shocked, and he says, what are you doing here? So I just, well, I'm just out taking a walk. No, that's not what I said, okay? So I said, I was very honest, and I said, so I saw you running out of the church, and I thought to see if everything is okay with you, okay? So he was like, okay. So I asked him, so how are you? And we started to talk. And we started to walk, and I was directing our steps back to the church as we talked, okay? And nothing about his faith or religion, just about general things, because he switched subject, okay? So we talked, and I directed our steps back to the church, and we came back to the church, and he didn't notice, but I stopped outside the church, and he was like looking, and he was looking up, and he was like shocked again. I was thinking, oh, here we go, okay? I'm ready to run. But he didn't, so, because I said this, his name was David. David, we don't need to go into the meeting, okay? Let's go down and continue our conversation in the basement of the church, okay? So we go in, and we sit down there, and we continue to talk, and I'm trying to do this, trying to direct his mind into more of the reason, because I know that he's going through something, right? He's going through conviction, trying to reach his heart. But I'm stuck. I don't have anything to say. So I pray. He's sitting there, and I just pray, Father, give me words. Give me something to say to this guy. So when I pray, all of a sudden we hear this voice. Now, before you jump out of your chair, this is what happened. Someone up in the meeting hall has turned on, you know, the speakers where you can hear in the kitchen and all the other places what's going on, right? So that's what's happening. I'm sitting in there in this kitchen in the basement, and I pray, God, give me something to say. And all of a sudden, this speaker goes on there, and I was just, what is this? And the first thing, the preacher is Don McIntosh, if you have ever heard him. So he screams out, the first word is that he screams out, God exists! Okay? And then he continues to tell this story. Listen to this. This story, as I pray in this basement with this guy in this situation, he continues to tell his testimony. Have anyone heard Don McIntosh's testimony?
And
part in his testimony consists him coming to a camp meeting, feeling the conviction of God. He starts to run from the tent because he feels uncomfortable. He's running. Someone sees that and follows him. This is his testimony. This is our experience. We're sitting there. Follows him and helps him. We're listening to that story. And in the end of that story, Don McIntosh says, if he did not follow me, I don't know if I have been a Christian today. The speaker goes off. So I sit there and I just think, praise God. But I don't show that. My face looks like this. And my friend's face looks like this. But listen, friends, he has tears in his eyes. The only thing I can say to him is the first words that Don McIntosh said. I say this. I believe there is a God. God exists. Today, my friend is a baptized Seventh-day Adventist Christian. He comes from a background of anyway, let's skip that. But he has a very hard background with bad experience with Christians. His mother is a Christian, as you would imagine, Pentecostal, dragging him into these meetings. She is, by the way, not taken the step to join the church yet, but he has. Okay, anyway, so my friends, there is someone on our side when we witness. There is someone working on human's heart that we can put things together. The Spirit of God is present, and we need to learn how to cooperate with Him. I don't know what would have happened with my friend, right? But I saw the signs. I saw that something is going on. So I tried to be close to him. I tried to be there. And this story has helped me in my understanding that this is true. We have access to the greatest power in the universe. God, the creator of heaven and earth, is on our side when we try to reach people's heart. Pray for that. And be practically, see these signs of tears, joy, avoidance, being near, and meet those people. Be a friend and support them in their decision. Another practical tip in this situation is timing is so important. To know what to say, but more important, when to say it. So important. And when to say is when you see the conviction. Do you follow me? You can do it too early when you don't see it, and you will not have the response that you would like. Another thing is that you might do it too late. You see conviction, but you wait. You know, the longer you wait from the moment that a person goes through conviction, the more likely is that he will not answer to the voice of God speaking to him. And that is sad. That is sad. That is why I encourage all of us and people that I meet, be present, see it, and be there and encourage people. I know when I learned this, you know, at Lifestyle TV, I was working at Lifestyle TV doing programs and also doing personal witnessing, doing Bible work for Lifestyle TV and local church. And we invited different speakers, and two of them that came was Mark Finley and Louis Torres, if you know the Louis. So these are people that I thought, when they come here, I will take them with me to my Bible study contacts, okay? They will lead the Bible studies, and I will sit there and learn. Because I thought, this will be a great experience for me to just learn. So both of them agreed on that. We met my friends. And I remember Louis, especially, when we went to one of my friends. He did not believe in God. He had a Catholic background, but had left everything and lived a secular life. A professional basketball player, broke his knee, and everything was just down here in his life. Career ended, and I come and knock at his door, okay? Young guy in my age. And he said, well, I can try this. We start to meet. I try to share the Bible, but he's not very interested in that. But we talk about God, the existence of God, religion. I share some Bible verses. So I've met him for several months. So now me and Louis are going there. I tell him this because I think I need to inform and mentor my mentor, right? So I need to tell him, oh, this is a guy who doesn't believe in God. You should start with this. So this is something good. So I drive there. Louis falls asleep, okay? We have a 1-hour drive to his home. So he falls asleep. So I think, well, he might know what he's doing. So we come to his home. After a bit of socializing, okay, he followed some of these tips that we talked about, getting to know him, for 5-10 minutes talking. Then we sit down and should start the Bible study. Now what Louis does is this. The first thing he does is this. He says, my friend's name is Adrian. He says, Adrian, can you read this verse in the Bible from 1 John chapter 5? Okay, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. Now this is the verse that we read in the beginning of the Bible study. The first thing that happens, it says, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says there, whosoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Okay? He read this verse, and I'm thinking, no, Louis, he doesn't need the Bible not right now. That's what I'm thinking. So I look at Adrian's face, and I look at Louis, and I'm thinking, what is he about to do now? And Louis asked this question. After reading that, he asked this question. So Adrian, who has life? And he said, well, the one that has the Son of God, he says. Very accurate from the Bible. And then he says, so Adrian, do you have the Son of God in your life? Now I'm thinking, no, this is not the way. And sure enough, Adrian says, no, I don't. And then I look at Louis. Louis says, so, do you want to have eternal life? So I look at Adrian. Adrian says, no. And I'm thinking, yeah, Louis Torres is not the one I thought he was, right? But then, so now, what do you do? 2 minutes into the Bible study, you sit there with a person that shows no interest at all in the Bible or God, and he says, I don't want to have eternal life.
Shoot him with a question.
Thank you. Now listen, Louis sits there, and I look at him, and I think, what in the world is he doing? What should he do? Now listen, it is so simple, yet so difficult. And it comes from the experience of timing and reading people and know what to say and when to say it. 3 minutes into the Bible study, Adrian sits there with no affections at all, stone cold. No, I don't want to have anything to do with Bible, Christianity, eternal life. That's not me. Adrian looks, Louis Torres looks at him and he says this. Adrian, I know your feelings and your thoughts. I know that you do not want to have eternal life. If it is an eternal life in sin. That's what he says. Adrian sits there. He's this athletic guy. He always have these what you call them, these t-shirts that shows his muscles. He sits there with his muscles, this athletic guy. He sits there, he looks at Louis. He looks down. And this guy, with his muscles, starts to cry. And he starts to say this. You're right. I do not want to live the life I live today forever. I don't want to live this life. Louis, 3 minutes into this Bible study, starts to explain the gospel for someone that I would have taken a year or I don't know what. He starts to explain that, listen, the life that we read about here is not a life that we live today. The life that we read about here is an eternal life without sin. And Adrian, listen, the gospel of the Bible, this Son of God, is able to give you a new life here on earth. Do you follow me? Now, we cannot go out and talk to our friends like this and just repeat what Louis did. Do you follow me? We cannot sit down and just, well, read this and then ask these questions. Why? Because he was reading this person in this situation, in his needs, and saw what he needed, and asked the right questions in the right moment when he saw conviction and when God led him. Do you follow me? So important in reaching people's heart is to cooperate with the only one that can reach the people's heart, right? Listen to this quote. From Evangelism, Book Evangelism, page 484. Page 484, it says, while the claims of the law of God are to be presented to the world, we should never forget that love, the love of Christ, is the only power that can soften the heart and lead to obedience. Did you hear that? We need to be there and meet people, See where they are and what kind of words of encouragement they need. We need to show the love of God and sympathy for people that we meet. This is the appeal that should come from our hearts as we prepare to meet people and reach their hearts. Another quote from from Gospel Workers, page 117. Gospel Workers, it says, ministers, that applies to us also, this principle, ministers should not feel that the whole truth is to be spoken to unbelievers on any or and every occasion. He should study carefully when to speak, what to say, and what to leave unsaid. Did you hear that? This is timing. This is what I learned from anything that I learned when I went out with Mark and Louis Torres. What I, you know, all the knowledge I had from sitting and reading books of witnessing, of all of these guys' books also, whatever, and sitting in class like this, and from all of this, what I learned when I met Louis and Mark Finley, to see how they practically meet people and reach their hearts, I learned one key thing, and that is timing. To cooperate with the Spirit of God, see when they go through conviction and be there and ask the question, friend, follow whatever God tells you to do right now. Okay. As you have noticed, we're talking about appeals. We're talking about something that could belong to subject of preaching or giving Bible studies. But I talk about this here in our personal meeting with people as well. Because this could apply to a situation at the bus. I got a question in the beginning here. After my personal testimony, someone asked, is it okay if I include some kind of personal talk with the one I share with? And yes, and we should. That is good, because you have shared your testimony, you have uplifted Christ, you have focused on the Word of God. Now the Spirit of God might work on their hearts. If you see signs of conviction, share something. Say, now this is my experience, you know, and many of my friends have experienced the same thing. And I know that you can as well experience what I have experienced. Do you follow me? Something to that effect. Include the other one. Share this appeal. Now, the appeal is very simple, actually. It doesn't need to be this complicated thing. And some of us are uncomfortable in making appeals and also listening to appeals. And we should not be uncomfortable. Appeals is what makes the message practical. If you just share a message, that's just theory. That's just information. If you never ask the question, if you never appeal to people to follow the information or the theory, the message, then you have not reached the heart, right? You have not reached the heart. It's so important. And especially here in Scandinavia and Sweden, I've noticed that we are very uncomfortable, and preachers and pastors and other of us, we feel uncomfortable in making that direct personal question to people. I'll share a serious quote that I just felt impressed to share with you on this subject. Sorry for taking some time here. Listen to this. Many of us, we believe, we have this misunderstanding and misconception of that if we make appeals, people will feel uncomfortable and run away from us, okay? They will leave the church, and we should not do these things. Listen to a counsel from the Book of Evangelism once again, page 279. It says here, there are souls in every congregation who are hesitating, almost persuaded to be fully for God. The decision is being made for time and eternity, but it is too often the case that the minister has not the spirit and power of the message of truth in his own heart. And the consequence is this, listen. Hence, no direct appeals are made. Did you hear that? Here she also goes to why many of us don't make appeals. Why? Because the preacher does not have the message in their own heart. Right? Let's continue. Listen to what she continues to say. And this is what I wanted to focus on. Listen to what she continues to say. So she brings out this problem with not making appeals. The result is that impressions are not deepened upon the hearts of the convicted ones, and they leave the meeting feeling less inclined to accept the service of Christ than when they came. Did you hear that? Great sermon, great information, wonderful message. The Spirit of God moved on people's heart. They were ready to make the decision for eternity. But no one asked them to take that step. No one asked them, and they leave not in a better mood, not in a better situation of making that decision, but in a worse situation of making that decision. Why? Because no one asked them. No appeal. They decide to wait for a more favorable opportunity, but it never comes. But it never comes. This is why we sit here for 20 years in secular Scandinavia, Sweden, and listen to sermons that are great, feel impressed, and we have been raised up in the church. We sit there, we hear great sermons all the time. No appeal, no appeal, no appeal. Through our childhood, through our teenage, no appeals. And we are just numbed by the message. Then suddenly, Pastor Mark Finley shows up, and he makes appeals. And what happens? People think that this is not right. They have been numbed already. They went through conviction once because an earnest, spirit-filled preacher shared a great message and God blessed in some way, but in some way they thought that no appeal is necessary. And people are in a worse condition of making that important decision. I worked in 3 different churches, in Gothenburg, in Malmö, and Norrköping in Sweden. And in every church I've met people, I come there and I meet people that attend church, all there. They live like Adventists, live like Christians, but they are not baptized. I ask them, why are you not baptized? And they tell me the same story. No one has ever asked me. It's a simple question. How is your relationship with God? Would you like to take that step of surrendering your life to Him? Why are you not baptized? Well, why don't you study? Why don't we start a group and study and prepare for baptism? Would you like to do that? Appeal is a simple question. A simple question. Okay. Let's go back. I need to... I jumped into another document with quotes here. So reaching people's hearts, the practical aspect of it is this. When you see people go through conviction, you see these signs. Be there as a friend. Ask the question. Give that encouraging word. Help them. Okay, so important for us as we minister to people, as we engage in personal witnessing, as we try to reach people's hearts. I will end with I have a quote on this note, and I hope that we will get some time for questions on this whole workshop, that we'll get some interactions in the end here. So this last quote from Review and Herald, I found this one, August 30, year 1892. Review and Herald in August. She says, the secret of our success and power as a people advocating advanced truth. Did you hear that? The secret for success and power as a people advocating advanced truth will be found in making direct, personal appeals. Did you hear that? To those who are interested, equally important, timing. To those who are interested, having unwavering reliance upon the Most High. Four things I want to take from that quote. Five things. The success of us advocating advanced truths is to make direct, personal appeals to those who are interested, number three, having an unwavering reliance upon the Most High. That last one, very important. It is not us asking, but we need to have the conviction that there is someone, if we speak to a bigger group, there is someone in this group that God is calling right now. If we talk to someone and we see the signs of conviction, we see the interest developing, we find our timing, an unwavering reliance that God is working, the Holy Spirit is working. It's not me. I'm just this instrument helping, right? Do you follow me? Trust in God as we make the appeal. Make it personal and make it direct. Okay? So, direct appeal or specific appeal is often have the best effect on people. Although we can make general appeals. Now the difference is this. A general appeal is this. I make an appeal for you right now, and that is this. So we have read through the new heaven and new earth in Revelation, and I say, doesn't this sound wonderful, friends? How many would love to be in heaven one day? Now, everyone raised their hand, right? And that's good. That is a question, right? It is an appeal. But more better effect will a direct, personal, specific appeal have that goes to some specific need or some specific thing in our situations. Include the people. Talk to you, not us. How many of us would like to be in heaven, right? But rather, very simple and practical. Would you like to be there? Now, as we see here, there will be people there that follow the principles of the Bible and the love of God. People will not be there that does not love heaven, right? Now, question for you today: do you love heaven? Do you love the principles of this kingdom? Now, I believe that some hear the voice of God and know that there is something in our lives that is in contrast with what we just read through, right? Oh, friends, I ask you, surrender those things to God. Do you follow me? This is building up the personal appeal and then the direct personal question. Most often have a better effect than just the general appeal. Although, the important thing is, make any appeal, okay? Help people to make the decision, be there in the right moment and find the timing. Okay, I would end on that note and open up for questions on the whole workshop that we have gone through, from the meeting of people, practical principles, and talking about testimonies and what to say and what to not say, and all of these things, appeals and reaching people's hearts, other situations that you are in that you might want some input or counsel on, please share with us from this testimony in the end there. So open questions, friends. Yes?
What have you had when you met, when you tell your story?
Oh, okay, thank you. Right. When in the end of your personal testimony, if you want to make it personal in some way and relate to the other person, Now, what do you say? Now, this is very general. This is very specific. I mean, when you once again, we need to read the people, the person that we're talking with, right? And meet their, do you remember? Meet their current needs. Try to understand where they are. And so this may vary, but if there, especially if you have in some way your own background or your own experience, as I said, my own experience of and background in engineering. If I talk to someone that and I share my testimony from that aspect, I might include something that I know is relevant for these people. Do you follow me? So it's try to this very hard to give some specific thing. It might be something easy, as we talked about in the beginning here, just very a general thing again. You know, something to the effect of, you know, this is what I have experienced. I've seen that the Word of God truly is, or that the Bible truly is the Word of God speaking to my soul. And, you know, I believe that you can also experience the same thing. So something similar to that, or just simple, try to include the other one. You know, these things, once again, these things, this is another encouragement on this note. We cannot just sit here and read a book, listen to my experience and my testimonies and this workshop or any other workshop or whatever it is, and then think that we go out and now we have the answers to everything. You know, I don't have time to tell that story, but I did not have any experience when I started to share the little faith that I had. I have learned so much from just being out there. You know, you don't learn swimming on land, right? You need to jump into the water and start to swim. And that's so important. Get out there from whatever you've learned here, from this conference, when you have been inspired and encouraged to go out there. Act also. Take this with you and trust that God will guide and lead you, and you will learn so much. Mark Finley, Louis Torres did not read a book and ended up there at Adrian and just connected like this. No, they have met people through years of experience of ministering to them. Okay, so that's get out there and try to meet people. Other questions on what we have talked about?
Is there the danger to make the appeal too early?
Is there a danger to make the appeal too early?
Yes, lose them.
Right. And yes, definitely. There is. Timing, once again. If a person is not, I would say, if a person is not open at all, if he doesn't go through the signs of conviction, I believe that, yes, if you push, This will be once again back to the perceptions, right? People will feel that you're pushing them, right? There's one thing, another tip, practical tip that Mark Finley told me when we were out there. He said there's one thing that works when you try to appeal to people, and that is this: it is push, release, push, release, push, release. Many of us make this mistake. We push, right? Other people make this mistake: push, release. Okay, you thought, oh, that was uncomfortable. Or let me leave this guy. Okay, you know, people that I go through. You know what I do? People that I study and I meet, I keep notes and records on the people I meet. I write in my journal of them. I write if I'm in a push or in a release relationship right now. Do you follow me? Do you follow me? Very practical. I write that because I made appeals. We have gone through some testing truths. I made appeals, and then I release a bit. Do you follow me? I release a bit and maybe share topics of other things, important things, practical things maybe, that I know that this person might not struggle with, but this will help and build a foundation for another push later on. Right? Push, release. Very important. Once again, timing. So thank you. Yeah.
Just go back to this being genuine.
Right.
Because I think that many times we're afraid, especially in Scandinavia, because we've seen this American preachers. You know, you have a sermon, then the music starts playing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
And there are more here. And they just go on and on for like 5 or 6 minutes, and that feels uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like, you know, it's not a genuine appeal, it's just... Now this is time to appeal. And then you feel like this is going too far.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as Scandinavians, we don't like that. Mm-hmm. We're kind of more...
Right.
Like, so... He needs to be kind of...
You're right. Yeah.
not.
Right. And to that, yeah, I agree. And we need to be sensitive, especially when we meet people personally like this, when we have the chance to meet their specific need in specific situation, to try to find this right timing. I will also add this and say, I believe that there is a deeper problem also with that. I think all of us should also be encouraging our church, our pastors, ourselves, to start to develop a culture of making decisions and walking together with Jesus. And so we feel comfortable that this is Christianity. Christianity is just not only sitting there and listening to information and then go, but Christianity is to grow and to develop and to serve. And I think all of us, if you live in Scandinavia, I would like to encourage you to be a light and a part of changing the culture and some of the things that I believe is not the best for us. At the same time, when we meet people and when we talk with them, as you say, we need to have our hearts prepared. We need to be genuine. We need to connect. This is another practical tip. Connect the appeal and the question to what it meant for you, right? Connected to, I mean, that's how it should come, right? It should come from your personal devotion, and you thought, this is so important, I need to share this with someone. This is a decision I want my friends to join in, okay? That is the appeal. Thank you. That's an important comment.
Yeah, actually, recently we had a Bible study in our home about Christ's second coming, and there's two guys, and they had a little department, you know, to follow always, you know, what Bible verse we're going to get to next, or what which one we're going to read. So, I don't know if it was a mistake, but we had actually printed out, you know, the Bible study so everybody could follow along. But then on the bottom it said, Appel.
Wow.
You know, you want to be ready for Jesus coming in. And then they're like, what does that mean? And I just explained to them, you know, we watch so much TV and there's suffering and you know, these are the kids. And
right.
You get immune to it and you don't actually do something about the things that you see or learn or the information that you get in. So that's why we specifically want people to make decisions and to get into the thought of making decisions about the information, because this information is so important. It's about your life and your future and about Jesus. And,
right.
And they actually caught on and said, yeah, yeah.
A good explanation, yeah. And I mean, we need to be honest and just share and very honest saying that I think this is so important. I made my decision 5 years ago, whatever it is, 6 years ago. I made this decision, and it has just totally changed my life. Today, I could never imagine being here and being glad, doing what I do today, if I did not make that decision. You know, friend, I would love for you to join in that experience. That is the kind of spirit of the appeal that we would love to share with people. Now we need to end. Questions. If you have any final questions, otherwise grab me during the conference if you have any other things that you would like to talk about. Final question, anyone? Then...
If the human says, okay, do you want to take Christ until he says yes, and what next?
Oh, good question. Yeah, if they have, of course, when they answer the appeal, if that's a direct in some kind of Bible study, or you sit down with a friend and they say, yeah, this is the step I want to take. Of course, very, very important, as I try to share, when you try to reach out a hand, a comfort, and say, I want to pray with you. That's what you want to do after the decision also. Pray and seal this decision that your friends are making. After the appeal, you should also. I do this, and if you are able to do this, you should also offer continual contact in some way with this person that you have just had this experience with. I think that is so important. You have prayed, you have built this relationship and this trust, and you made the decision together. That is a precious moment in this person's life. I share my phone number and to some people if I can't meet them. I say, hey, friend, I will pray for this decision and continue to pray for it. If there is if there is any problem or anything that you go through, please feel free, just call me, whenever, call me. And if I, I'll try to answer, and we will talk about these things. And people call me. In the middle of the night, people call me and say, Don, this is my struggle. And I pray with them right then. I tell them, friend, start to walk away from that place. Start to walk away from that place and talk with me, okay? And they start to walk. They are crying, and we pray together. This is the kind of ministering, personal relationships and witnessing we need to engage in, I believe. It takes time. It takes effort. But this is the call of every Christian that wants to follow the self-sacrificing way of our Savior. This is how he ministered. This is what he did. And this is what this workshop has been all about. Personal effort in personal witnessing, in reaching people's hearts. Thank you for that last clarification. Pray with people and seal it.
Not to socialize afterwards.
Yeah, important thing. Leave them in that spirit of decision. Let's pray, and we'll go to, I think, lunch right now. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for speaking to every single one of us in this room and guiding us and giving us the faith that we have in you and the relationship that we have in you today. Father, I pray that you will take the things that we have discussed, the tips and practical tools and principles, bring them to our remembrance when we meet people, our friends, co-workers, friends in school, family. When we try to witness to others and reach their hearts, Father, I pray that you will help us in some way to be more effective, encouraged and inspired to share your love with others. May we see many people in heaven together with us because of the time that we have spent here at this conference, because of the time that we have spent together in this workshop. Father, I pray that we will have the joy of seeing people coming up to us that day and say, thank you for the time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your words. Thank you for helping me that day and that moment. I am here because of that. Father, I pray that that will be every single one of our experience when you come and to get us to meet you and to be where you are. That is my prayer. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.